most intentional. Like, as far as response to pandemic, I'm super impressed by the theaters rolling that out. Yeah, because, you know, some places have had to completely redefine. I mean, I think you could argue everyone has had to almost, but I guess maybe it's the improv kind of at the core of the actors that have made you guys really ready to sort of like pivot and look for new possibilities when these barriers come up. Like, I don't know if it's a testament to your those skill sets that you embody, but it really is very impressive to hear how the theater has shifted to embrace it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for saying that. That's very kind of you to say that. And I think it is that it's the leadership skills really come into play in this regard, right? And you're talking about pivoting, and absolutely so. And we learn those skills at different times in our lives. And in this case, it's coming in really handy to keep that positive always in the forefront, right?
Yeah.
Because we are the human spirit.
Yeah. Well, your mention of leadership, like, there's so much to be said for your trust in, you know, the director, so to speak. But this is a great time for people who have figured out how to make things work to take on these kind of like leadership roles, or to, you know, start suggesting projects, because some people want to have a positive outlook and want to do things right now. But the concept of having to come up with how is really overwhelming. And so it's potentially a fantastic time for community to lean into those roles. Like, I've got an idea, and then this person being like, I've got energy and enthusiasm. And then those two get together and, you know, can start to make things happen. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's so energizing. And you're right, actually. It's a different spin on it, but hopefully a good one, right? And just morphs as you go.
Yeah. Well, I know that you, like myself, have rolled with this pandemic and managed to stay creative and productive. And I'd love to hear more about what your experience has been. And I will say, like, I know from personal experience, it's sort of weird to admit when you can thrive during what is obviously like a terrible worldwide pandemic. You know, it's not a great situation, but it is interesting how during a point of struggle, you can still thrive in other ways, right? And so I'm curious to hear what your experience has been, and maybe if you have even clued into some of your past experiences or skill sets that have helped you during the pandemic in terms of navigating it.
Oh, that's great, Jenny. That's also a very good question. Awesome. You know, absolutely. I taught international students, both local and international participants, also survivors of trauma. I worked in the mental health field and health field as well, a crossover, as well as, you know, the radio and the film and all the other. But that is sort of the core of where, you know, I started. And I truly believe that helps you to focus on the whole person, right? And all those skill sets that kind of go around that, and keeping a person balanced. So absolutely, those have been applicable skills. And I noticed it right away in terms of engagement and lack of alienation, not wanting to keep people at bay and feeling alone in this process of the unknown, right? So that was important to me as a leader and as a community member to you know, and group everyone in right away. Let's go, you know, here we go, how can I help you, that kind of thing. So you see some people in sort of some dark places, but you know, there are ways to help them as well too, right? Whether it be through theater or somewhere in the community, and you're reaching your hand out to them. And I think linking people in is so important, because it is the circle of life, is it not, you know? And really it's about the web of support. So yes, all of those things that I've done in the past have absolutely come into play. And I'm actually finding quite a crossover and reconnection with people currently for that, yeah.
What format has it taken for you? Like, what did you lean into that has had the best sort of like personal result or connection? Because I feel like we have a bunch of different technologies and a bunch of different things available to us, but some probably have proven more rewarding than others. Like, what have you been using to engage?
You know what? I have been using this tool that we're using now, and it has been absolutely amazing. So again, making that connection with somebody, whether they're in Africa or they're in Montreal, Canada, or they're in Guelph, because we're all going through the same thing. So this tool has been very, very useful. And we used to all kind of do that before for business travel and such too anyway, but this stepped it up a scale. But telephone for sure, of course, and I think for some people that may aren't able to use these type of tools, but very much this way, and consistent engagement throughout the day and on a day-to-day basis, and you know, sort of setting goalposts for yourself, right? Shows on reconnecting, you know, whether it be with that person a month later or a week later. So this form wouldn't normally be my ideal form, but I'm comfortable with it, and you know, in terms of online stuff. But leaving that door open for other support at a socially distanced level if need be, right?
You're listening to Bridging the Social Distance, a show recorded here in Guelph at CFRU as a platform for sharing stories and perspectives during the global pandemic of COVID-19. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Lynn McEntee, Publicity Chair of the Guelph Little Theatre.
Yeah. Well, can you bring me up to speed on the process now? So Guelph is, we're very low numbers these days. So in terms of the sort of reopening and transitioning back to regular operations, perhaps Guelph isn't as scary as some places that are navigating those same decisions when their, you know, case counts are much higher. But I also know that, like you said, the theater is looking ahead and thinking of a whole season that is remote. And so in terms of how much there is in person, how much you guys gather in physical spaces, what is it looking like at this point? Or maybe what did it start to look like when you first started doing it, and what is it shifting towards?
So when this started, we were automatically assigned people in charge of the building. So there's a team of, so they only have access to make sure everything's running, the plumbing's running, et cetera, and keeping it clean. But as it opened up in the province, we were, again, following the provincial guidelines. We were to get in and record, do a small recording for this Cafe Conversations. We did rehearsals off-site, but we kept it very minimal, and again, and you swoop in and you clean and that kind of thing. So we're very, very lucky that we have a health and safety team that's doing that right now. And in terms of other people using the building, people have inquired about rentals and things like that. We're not there yet. There are some places in the province, in Kitchener right now, I know of a theater company that's renting out space. So we do have inquiries, but we've sort of taken slow steps. With everyone else, you know, you're allowed up to 50 to 100 people, but in the same sense, you know, we're just kind of figuring out what people are comfortable with as we go. So we're literally, I guess, as sort of backtracking, we're going month to month assessing, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. But not closing the door on opportunities to engage people.
It's interesting to picture. Like in my mind, when I think of a bunch of actors doing, like I've seen some readings, for example, where actors gather on something like Zoom and do read through a script together in a fun animated way and do these characters. And in a sense, in that format, you don't really need a stage at all. Each person may be in their bedroom or their bathroom or their living room or who knows where. And the odd person, you're like, wow, they have their own studio. But, it's interesting to think of the role of the physical stage and space itself and how essential it is. But it seems like a huge opportunity to have access to this big, beautiful space in terms of staging, especially if you're trying to maintain distances, to have access to a lot of room to do that. But it is a strange thing to sort of puzzle through, like how important the spaces are as opposed to the platform, I guess, that they are released in.
That's really cool. So if you're doing it informally, it's interesting. Like I just did one with a group in Virginia and, you know, the guys from there. And it was cool. And we were all really super animated. And so, awesome. It was very, very, very energizing. We just kind of went with it, right? But again, you know, it was informal on screen. But some of the other ones that we've done that are more for the public, I guess, in the area, it's interesting to see people because the directors would change, allow us to change the backgrounds. So if you have that ability to zoom it out according to whatever scene you're doing, for example, columns for the Colosseum or that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe just by chance somebody's showing up at the wrong screen, you know, during rehearsals. And that's okay, too, because we're all kind of just working through it, right? But it's neat to see people in costume with their scenes ready to go and then performing to the camera, because that might be an adjustment as well, too, because they're in a small space, basement in their home or something, or, you know, up at the cottage somewhere, and they're trying to find a spot to shoot this, right? So that, oh, you hear a bird flying past, or, you know. I find it very cool because, again, it speaks to the improv skills. I think the audience is very forgiving because it is during an experimental time for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I think if we're finding the joy and the laughter in putting the production together, I think our audience would find the joy and laughter and support in viewing as well, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what I've been observing has been a group of people who really want to support, which is nice. Like any amount of sort of art or performance being shared is being considered like kind of a bonus and a gift during this time, I think. And so that's really awesome. In terms of the play you're doing right now, the vignettes, the cafe conversations, how did that go together? Like, are folks sharing space safely? Were they recorded to look like people are in the same place, but they're not? How did that kind of go together?
Yeah, no, it was a very small group of people. So once the set was built, we worked out dates with the actors when they could be there. And that's why we kind of did it over a 2-day period. We also had some media covered as well, too, and wanted to see about that process. So, you know, let's say you're in a cafe and then the set is looking like a cafe and it's two actors, right? And you're socially distanced. And that's your bubble actor. So that's kind of how we were assigned to each other, and it worked out perfectly. Yeah, so you really feel like you're in the cafe, you know. They did a really good job with the set dressing for that. With each vignette, they're all in the same setting, right? Yeah, yeah.
So did you had to bubble with another actor for the duration?
Yeah, so cool.
That's a great way to do it.
Right? And it's just, you know, just bring it in, right? Let's do this. And yeah, that's the best way to do it for sure.
Yeah, I guess I've been sort of picturing scenarios where there's sort of like 14 days leading up to a performance where everybody could essentially quarantine and then be safe together. Kind of, you know, there's been examples of that in broader spectrums. I've seen a few bands have done that where they quarantined and then got together for rehearsals and then recording all in one swoop. So they're sort of their own bubble for that period of time. But then after that, they can quarantine again and go about their other bubbles. It's really interesting, the amount of intention, I guess, that has to go into it. And that's like a whole other level of development. Emotion that you are asking of these actors, you know?
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting too, because really it was minimal rehearsals. So if it is another production, you know, you may need several more rehearsals, but it was very minimal for us. So that worked out perfectly in that regard. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you're putting the same kind of time and commitment in, but to safety as opposed to extra rehearsing, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. No, it is for sure. And like the actors are tops, so that they really embrace the opportunity to do so, right?
In terms of the broader theater projects that you're connected to, because I know you've mentioned that you have connections basically around the world, I think, in terms of different theaters, certainly North America, there were a few different places mentioned. I guess I have an idea of like what the Guelph Little Theatre's approach is going to look like for the next little while. What are some other theaters' approaches to this time? Like, are other people starting to look at a new normal and a season that looks a certain way with the pandemic in mind? Or have more people sort of been like, were on hold until ... Like, what has been the overall kind of feeling when you've talked to other theaters about who's moving forward with new models, who has made old models work, and who has paused?
For sure. Each is very individual. It depends on what the mandate is of the theater and the target audience, for sure.
We continue on with the roots-oriented music here on Steel City Music. Always a favorite of mine to spin is the work of Tom Wilson, our good friend from Hamilton, Ontario, Juno winner, book winner. That's not the term you use. Well, let's just say he wrote a book and everyone liked it, and he's writing another book. Music from two albums from him. We're going to hear music from Mohawk and also Beautiful Scars. Tracks you're going to hear: Black Spruce, Planet Love, Mohawk, How Does It Feel, Hey, 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 Whole Damn World, Come On and Go, Oh the Gods, Shake That Hand, 40 Light Years, Blue Moon Drive, and Loser Without Your Love. Go to his website. That's what you should do. Go check out more about Tom Wilson at leeharveyosmond.com to find out more about his albums, where he's playing, where his art's being displayed, and all those other fun things. Lee Harvey Osmond on Steel City Music. Brains in high gear.
the girl that she is today. A little Jesus walking on your endless sea. We're just an August dawn trying to shake your heat. Red brick and lazy and lost in an endless sleep. Oh yeah. Do you wanna know? Do you wanna know? Do you wanna know now, baby? Do you wanna know? Do you wanna know? Do you wanna know now? Do you wanna know about this mess? I'm just a loser without your love, I guess.
When you walk into a club and you see a band that blows you away, you are going to follow that band. You're going to either buy their CD or you're going to find them online or you're going to see them the next time they come to play. You don't have to stand in line at the song contest on TV to become a f***ing popular musician.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Have mercy. privacy on my head, 'cause your memory is burning in my bed. Oh, the gods, oh, the gods, have mercy on my head, 'cause your memory is burning in my bed. Some people live out on the road, and others rather stay at home. Some just go down gambling, then they're gone. Give it all away for a band of gold in the land of promises I sold. Picking up the pieces, and then we're gone. Don't leave me a lot to give. The time we wasted, all we lived. Are you coming back? All strung out down on my floor. You're in my dreams that come and go. Whoa, you come and go. So I can breathe and maybe see what I can see. But you're all around me, and then you're gone. Don't leave me a lot to give. The time we wasted, oh, we lived. Are you coming back or going home? All strung out down on my floor. You're in my dreams that come and go. Just fall away, so come on.
busted and I'm broke. Hey, hey, hey. Would you give this heart some hope? I've been looking for a way out and a way back into you. So come on, baby. What do you say? Oh, hell, it's alright. We can't find a way tonight. We'll just lie here anyway. We'll burn out the love light till the moment comes around and sweeps us both away. Hey, 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 will you love me anyway? Hey, 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 after my song has had its day, when your wheels are spinning in the dust, all your dreams have turned to rust, oh baby. What do you say?
Can we do two at a time? Can we do three at a time? They'll say, we don't like it, but we would like it if you would just change this one little thing, or if you'd put a bridge in here, or if you'd add this, you know, make this a little peppier. And then that, then they're in on the songwriting, and if I start letting that happen, then I'm dead.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
mistakes you made were on your phone. Let me seal your scars and calm your mind. Turn your deep blue heart into the loving kind. How does it feel?
who's gonna love you? I was aching, tired Georgia. Old Georgia, my sweet old girl. From the bars where we drowned in this hard rock town, I fell for you every night. All my sorrows laced with codeine, and the taxis all know my name. They take me away at the end of the day, from my penthouse to the gutter again. I'm alone, sentimental, coming down, and all of my lovers have skipped town. Drop a little poison in my well, and give me a shove, and I'll see you at the bottom of our love. Diamond and come when I call. I'm alone, sentimental, coming down,